Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Fork in the Road.
Oh no, we now have Ezra 1. Thank you.
In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, in order that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Persia, so that he sent a herald throughout all his kingdom, and also in a written edict declared, "Thus says King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of those among you who are of his people, may their God be with them, are now permitted to go up to Jerusalem in Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let all survivors in whatever place they reside be assisted by the people of their place with silver and gold, with goods and with animals, besides freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. The heads of the families of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose spirit God had stirred, got ready to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors aided them with silver vessels, with gold, with goods, with animals, and with valuable gifts, besides all that was freely offered. King Cyrus himself brought out the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed them in the house of his gods. King Cyrus of Persia had them released into the charge of Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this was the inventory: golden basins, 30, silver basins, 1,000, knives, 29, gold bowls, 30, other silver bowls, 410, other vessels, 1,000. The total of the gold and silver vessels was 5,400. All these Sheshbazzar brought up when the exiles were brought up from Babylonia to Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, ma'am. Romans 9:1-18.
I am speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. It is not as though the word of God had failed, for not all Israelites truly belong to Israel, and not all of Abraham's children are his true descendants. But it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named after you. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants. For this is what the promise said: about this time I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. Nor is that all. Something similar happened to Rebecca when she conceived children by one husband, our ancestor Isaac. Even before they were born, or had done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose of election might continue, not by works, but by his call, she was told, "The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. But then are we, what then are we to say? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I have raised you up for the very purpose of showing my power in you, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomsoever he chooses, and he hardens the heart of whomsoever he chooses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Awesome. So I was just asking God, then you are wondering what's jumping out at me these passages this morning. And this first is this picture of anguish. Like, Paul's really sad here. He's what's happening is he's encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. He's been blinded. He's had this amazing conversion, where he now sees scripture and all that he was doing in a completely different way. And so he was on this road where he thought he knew everything. He was a religious leader, he was sticking to the law, he knew it all. And then suddenly he took a turn. And there's this fork in the road where he's taken a turn. Jesus led him one way and asked him to look back. And he's looked back and he's seeing most of Israel continue up to this fork, hear that Jesus is there, and then continue on the road anyway. They're not taking the path to Christ. And he's like, but you are the chosen people. This is like what everything, you know, his blinkers have gone. He can see what God's plan is. He can see it from start to finish. It's all been unveiled to him. And then he sees the whole of Israel just going past, ignoring the message. Not even worse than ignoring it, they're offended by it. Like he was. And he's like, come on. So there's this real anguish of his heart. And he knows that they are Israelites. They have been adopted. They're meant to be the blessing to this world. And yet so often we've got that blessing wrong. When we start putting ourselves above others, or we think about the works that we have done, or we compare ourselves and think, actually, you know, I'm more likely to get into heaven, or whatever that means, than you are, because I've done this and this and this. But there's this idea of works. And he says, you know, he says, even back to birth, like God, before they'd even been born or done anything good or bad, they were chosen. And that is an amazing countercultural message to this Israel that's just ignoring this Jesus. You know, it's like, you have been chosen before you were born. Like, come on this way. And it must have been so hard, because you've got this whole cultural, like, well-oiled machine, haven't you? The way it's all been done in the temple, the laws, your upbringing, everything is just like channeling you this way. To deviate from that is really hard. And that must have been like the example we heard this morning of this guy, Sadhu Singh, having, you know, his brother's trying to poison him and his dad disowning him. There's this fork in the road that we often face in our journeys.
Mm.
And it can be a real painful one. You can get torn out of what you know and love, and what you have sometimes in life. We have to make this choice. And I also love this phrase at the end. I will then encourage you. Oh yeah, this one. I will have mercy on those whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on those whom I have compassion. That's like doing away with the whole measuring rod we often put next to people. It's so easy to look at people and think, wow, they're really blessed by God. Wow, look at them. Aren't they amazing? But God says, you know, I will have mercy on those I have mercy, compassion on those whom I have compassion. I'm not measuring like you're measuring. And it's not about the work, it's not about how you look, it's not about what you do. You know? It's about coming to God, actually saying, Jesus, where are you? Can I follow you? It's opening ourselves up to you.
When I finished reading the Romans passage, I wrote down the word God's in charge. To me, Paul is just, he was sort of so strict, wasn't he? As a Pharisee, he knew it all, didn't he? Yeah. And so the frustration that he must have felt having seen the light. But at the end, the Lord just asked us to be humble. And that fork in the road is another thing that I've written on my piece of paper. And we all have had that fork in the road, haven't we? And sometimes it comes up other times in our lives. Mm. Anyway.
Thank you. Marilyn, was there anything that caught your eye?
I was just thinking of bringing it up to date with Israel today. There's still, the very religious Jews, and in some ways, I suppose, what Christians over the past centuries have done to the Jews. There's a lot of opposition to Jesus, but, the Lord is moving amongst Jews today. And I just pray specifically for the Jewish people that they will recognize mm-hmm. who Jesus is, that he is their Messiah, and there is the new covenant, and that does apply to them. They're not going to be saved under the old covenant, as it were. They have to come to Jesus for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And the fact that Paul's reaction to them was one of sadness. It wasn't one of anger or oppression or I need to go and invade their lands and change their minds. Like, what were we thinking with the Crusades? And all is like, there's this sadness. And actually, where is God's grace in our actions? Christian mass isn't great. Thank you. So praying this morning, let's pray for people's forks in the road, that God might meet them in amazing ways, like visions that we started today with. I also want to pray, the phrase broken Britain came to mind as we were talking as well. That's often one that a tabloid uses, like Sun has regular articles, I think, on why is broken Britain. And it's this idea that we're watching what might be an amazing country fall apart, but is it falling apart? Anyway, I want to pray for that idea that the Britain is such an incredible heritage. Mm. It's amazing. And there are parts of it that are inevitably in every civilization, there's parts that are broken. Mm. But it's also incredible things like education, and the healthcare, the welfare system, all these things have Christian roots. It's a lot to be thankful for. But I'd like to pray for this idea of broken Britain this morning as well. Lord, I thank you that you meet us, whatever our circumstances. Whoever we are, whether young or old, male or female, Christian or Jew, Muslim or any nationality. Mm-hmm. Lord, you show mercy where you want to show mercy. And Lord, we ask that you would show yourself to those who need it most today. Would your grace and your peace just flood the darkest of places. Those who are desperate, Lord, you appear to them and just guide them on the path to a church, to a Christian brother or sister, that they might get support and learn more about you. Lord, I pray for these visions. I pray that you would appear like you did to Paul, like you did to, I have to read his name again, to Sadhu Sanger Singh. Would you appear to people like that? And it's incredible, Lord, the work that you do. Lord, we give you thanks for these examples, and Lord, we pray for more of it. Mm-hmm. I pray for these times of forks in the road that are costly, but ultimately life-giving. Lord, you be with people in those positions that have to make a big decision today and in the coming future. Amen.
Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.